Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
How you guys feeling today? You good? Ushers, you have a handout? That's going to be a minute, all right? So you can just kind of chill with those. It's going to be a minute. Hey, 2013 is almost gone. For me, this was a far better year than 2012. I remember the end of 2012, I was thinking, Jesus, it was over. It felt like deliverance. It felt like Moses going down the river. Like, good God, I'm not going to be murdered. This is wonderful. My wife is on stage here with me. I think it's the end of the year. Do you have a couple things that you would like to share? She had something she wanted to share with the people. I'm acting like it's a question, but she's on stage because she has something to share. Here.
I'll use your microphone. Okay.
Give it up for my bride.
Thank you, guys. No lipstick on your mic. Okay. I just wanted to take this opportunity. When I think about 2013, I think of just, we've had just so much to celebrate this year. There's just been so much good that has happened here at Revival Life Church. And I feel, I'm just so thankful to God that I have the privilege to serve this group of people, Revival Life Church. Like, I really like you guys. I really love you guys. And I'm so excited to see how much people have grown in their walk with God. The life groups, we've had opportunity for people to just grow so much. And through serving and taking up responsibilities and being in charge of things. And so many people receiving Jesus this year. So many people getting baptized this year. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. People, some healings, amazing physical healings. And the cool thing about it is that you've all been used as a part of that. That you've been people that have prayed for people to be healed. You've been the people that have witnessed to people in the mall and invited them to church. God has used so many people, and I just feel very privileged to be a part of this house, to have the opportunity to minister to the people of this house. It's my pleasure, and I feel privileged, and I love you all. So, amen.
Come on, give it up, Pastor Ace. If you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. We love you. We love you so much, and I hear so many testimonies of the fruit of your ministry, and we're just very thankful for you. Give one more time, please. Amen. Sit down. Amen. Amen. We love her very much. You guys doing okay? Here, let me. Man, okay. My goal today is to not trip on this stuff all in front of the stage as I go up and down. How you guys doing? That worship was good, huh? That was good stuff. That bass was, my God, from Zion. Hallelujah. He is from the low places, I tell you what. Hey, so check it out. Just a little administrative stuff. Generally, if you're going to lead a church, what you'll notice is your lowest attendance weeks will be the week after Easter and the week after Christmas. So often, if you're a big rock star preacher, what you'll do is you'll have a guest speaker come in on those weeks. And if you notice, big rock star churches, the week after Easter, the pastor will never be there. And they'll say, you know, I need a vacation after this amazing. No, it's because your ego can't take it. Because Easter is like your biggest week of the year, and you got like double the attendance. And the next year, it's even lower than average. The next week, excuse me, lower than average. And the ego gets. So if your ego is wrapped up in attendance, it's not good to preach those weeks. That's not what my ego is wrapped up in. It's wrapped up in my bass playing, obviously. No. But I like these weeks. I like the week after Easter. I like the week after Christmas because generally it's your core team. It's your core team. It's the people who we consider family. And so I was really hoping to have a family talk today. And I just want to talk to you, just kind of give you some nuggets for 2014. Often, if you're part of a church and they say, we're going to have a family talk today, they generally air drama, rebuke people, tell you the scandals that have happened. We've got no scandals happening. Can anybody say thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. The only scandals we've had is people who've decided not to follow Jesus, and they want to take everybody with them. That's pretty much our only, but we're doing good right now. I'm feeling loose, so who knows what I'm going to say today. I am. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 4 with me. I'm happy to be with you all. I like my church. Thanks, Isaac. It's my son. He has to love me. I feed him. Hallelujah. Anybody have a good 2013? I had a really good 2013. I'm expecting a better 2014. Amen. 2013 was better than 2012. I'm expecting 2014 to be even better. That's just, I've just decided to believe the word and go from glory to glory. You with me? Who wants to be with me? You know, I was thinking, I'll talk about that in a second. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 23. The writer of Proverbs tells us, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Let me read that again. "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Leave that up there if you would. A couple things I want you to see here. You know, the lottery is it's a poor tax. I don't know if you know that or not. The lottery is a poor tax because only poor people play the lottery. Poor people are waiting for somebody to rescue them from their situation. Prosperous people believe that they control their situation and they're not going to waste their money on something like the lottery. Right? And so if you feel like all your circumstances are out of your control because of a poverty mindset, then you'll do things like cry out to God to rescue you from the situation that you've created. Or you wait for a lottery, or you dream of marrying somebody rich. Or you think, if I can only move to that place, then my life will be so much better. But what we have found time and again is when you move, the problem is still going to be there because the problem is you. And as long as you're there, the problem will be there. Rarely are the issues of life external forces. Proverbs tells us very clearly right here that from our heart flow the springs of life. Jesus went on to say, if your spring is dirty, no fresh water can come from it. Nor can dirty water come from a fresh spring. And so as we look at this proverb right here, I want you to notice that spring is plural. Have you ever noticed that parts of your area, few areas of your life can be amazing and other areas are just a mess? You ever wondered, like, why is this a mess? Like, I'm prospering in all these areas, but this one right here is a train wreck. Because not all of your springs have been watched over. And I have found generally the enemy will allow you to prosper in certain areas so you don't get radical with your life. That's just a little nugget. Proverbs 23 tells us, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you." I want to focus on this first phrase here. "For as a man thinks within himself, so he is." And what I want to talk today about is how you are going to change things in 2014. Now, I want to be very clear about what I'm about to share with you. I could care less if you are rich and famous or broke and getting by. I want everybody in here to prosper, but you could be rich and go to hell. I want everybody in here. My ultimate goal for Revival Life Church, the people in Revival Life Church, my ultimate goal for you is you die and the first thing you hear is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful." I want to be there at the gates because I'm older than most of you. I want to be there at the gates and say, you know, hey, I heard Corey's coming. I can't wait to hear Jesus say to Corey, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm going to be out there at the gate. I'm going to say, "Oh, Lydia's coming. She's coming. I can't wait to hear, well done." I can't wait to be there and watch Jesus say to Mikey, "Well done." I can't wait to go there and see Jose coming up into the gates. Watch, I'm hiding back here because I'm going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to be there. I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate with you. I don't care if you get there broke. I don't care if you get there famous. I don't care if nobody knows you, as long as Jesus knows you and he says, "Well done, good and faithful," when you get there. That's my goal. So if you're looking for a church that's going to help you be a rock star, wrong place. And if you're looking for a church that's going to tell you you're the most anointed person we've ever seen, oh my God, can I give you the mic? Wrong place. If your goal is to get on this stage, you've aimed way too low. My goal is well done, good and faithful. My eyes are on heaven. And with that in mind, we allow the things of this world to keep us from fulfilling our purpose. Hear me. Fear is a destroyer of fate. Fear is a destroyer of purpose. Fear is a destroyer of calling. Just like pride. Pride is a destroyer of anointing. It's a destroyer of purpose. It's a destroyer of call. Pride will wreck everything in your life. So we go after pride pretty hard here. In this house, you just come here and the Lord will begin challenging you on your pride. And you have a choice. Either you can get offended and say, I'm all your problems and leave. Or you can say, wow, I am prideful. I need to humble myself so the grace of God can flow in my life. Those are the choices you get. And so a lot of people, they don't like me because I'm not going to stroke your ego to make you feel good about yourself. Humble yourself and many people will be your friend. And so then Corey started, getting discipled under me. He starts flowing in this thing. And so it used to be that people didn't like me. Now they don't like me and Corey. You come up to me, Pastor. I don't know why. They just don't like me. I'm like, they don't like me either. I think we're doing okay. They want to preach, but they're not gonna. You can be an amazing preacher. I don't care. If you're gonna impart pride in my people, I'm just gonna say no thanks. I don't need that. I got five preachers on the second row right now. I could just the first three rows, I got preachers up. I mean, I don't need people to come in here and give me their amazing knowledge and got all their spiritual funk gonna release on you. I don't need that. I want people who understand what's coming out of their heart. I want people who can come and say, listen, this is what I'm dealing with. I struggle in this area. And by God's grace, I'm going to get a grip on it. However, as I'm letting you know, I'm uncovering it so the devil can't use that. However, I want to share with you how God is flowing in my life over here. You don't got to be perfect. You just got to be humble. Should I say that again? You don't got to be perfect. You just got to be humble. That's all you got to be is humble. That's it. That's all you got to be is humble. Humble yourself and he'll exalt you. I love when I go up to people and I say, listen, can you share? Or can you lead? Or can you do whatever? They say, Pastor, I got this problem right here, man. You know, I'm not ready for that. I'm like, man, you said that. That tells me you're ready. It's when people come and they, oh, you got to let me talk. I got this. I got that. You ain't ready. You ain't ready. You're not low enough yet for God to use you. And so I want to talk to you about how to position yourself in 2014. I feel either the monster or the anointing. I'm not sure which, but I'm ready to go at it. I'll tell you what. We spent the year as a church dealing with some issues. We've been dealing with heart issues. We've been dealing with, as 2013 began, we started strengthening what we called strengthening the walls of the house. And as we began strengthening the walls of the house, we had like this outpouring in March. Remember that? Night after night after night, we met at our office. The presence of God was so strong. We'd be laid out on the ground. Night after night, hour after hour. First time it happened, the presence of God came into my office around 11 o'clock. Put it on Facebook. By 3 o'clock, the office was almost full of people. It was on a weekday. We were there till like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Presence of God so strong, and we come in there every day. The presence of God would be strong. Leave, come back. Presence of God be strong. It's important to ask God, what are you strengthening us for? It's important to ask God, what are you doing, and why are you doing it? And so, right after this outpouring, we went into a season of heart transformation. I mean, some people just got transformed in the midst of that presence. Who was there? Was it that Good Friday? When we had all those testimonies of lives that were changed just in the presence. Not ministry, not counseling, just in the presence. Jesus coming and changing hearts. We had our Father Heart Conference. And while many people think they got completely healed, we found out, you know, in the next couple months that all God did was rip the scabs off of open wounds. It looks good on the outside, but underneath it's a festering, flowing ooze of yuck. And sometimes you've got to rip the scab off and expose it to the air so we can get dried out, right? The light can hit it and it can get healed up. And then we had to really ramp up our counseling. Praise God, my wife transitioned from FAU to the church. Hallelujah. Started doing far more counseling. I did less, thank you, Jesus. I don't know what happens with her. She'll meet with people several times in a row. I'm just like, repent. That ought to do it. Next. Actually, just tell the guy in line behind you. Just tell him repent. He'll be good. Just tell him that. As it turns out, there's, you know, part of the sevenfold spirit of God is a spirit of counsel. And I didn't have that part, apparently. And so she's been doing that. A lot of people are getting healed. Well, why do I say this? If we don't get our hearts healed, if we don't get our hearts healed, if we don't get the issues, we don't deal with the unclean springs of our heart, what happens is we judge God and his view of us through that unclean spring. And all of a sudden, we start putting our issues onto God. Let's say that you deal with a lot of condemnation. Let's say that you are constantly dealing with fear and condemnation. Let's say that you're always scared that you're doing something wrong and that you're going to be punished for it. It's not a coincidence that you might come up with a theology that God has created some people to go to hell. You've just put your unhealed heart issues onto God. And you've just slid into what the Bible calls a false teacher. It's not a false teaching. You're teaching falsely about who God is. And we can disagree on lines of Scripture without disagreeing on who God is. But when we start saying that God is not love, now you're talking about a false God, and you just moved from false teaching into being a false teacher. You got to deal with your heart. That's why the Scripture says, listen, if you're going to teach the Word, you better make sure you got your stuff straight, because you're going to be held to a higher standard. Don't try it and praise God, the Holy Ghost is so good to us. He loves to prune false teachers from our midst. Have you noticed that, honey? Anyways. Are we all together? Are we good still? And so, one of the greatest things I've learned this year is to ask God, what do you think about me? What do you think about me, God? What do you think about me in this situation? What do you think about me in this circumstance? What do you think about my future? What do you think about this? What do you say about me? What do you call me? What do you call this church? What do you call my marriage? What do you call us? I mean, we come up with a lot of stuff that we've defined. But how often have we found out what God calls it? And I have found that's more important. Say, well, you know, God doesn't want to heal everybody. Well, then why did he call himself, I am the God who heals you? How is that even possible? You ever go to customer service and they're not giving any customer service? You're like, why are you even at this desk? Why don't you just close this down and not answer the phone? Why are you even here? It says customer service, but I'm not receiving any service at all, and I'm a customer. Right? It frustrates you because it's incongruent. We together here? It's like when the janitor doesn't clean. Like, why are you here? Why are you being paid? There's a mess. Why don't you clean that? It's not my job. Whose job is it? When you get a new job. Are you with me? If he's not your healer, then why does he call himself the God who heals? Why would he name his son Salvation? Why would he call him Emmanuel, God with you, if he's not for everybody? Anyway. And so we find out that God named himself certain things because that's who he is, and we can't change that. I like cultures that name their children prophetically. And for those of you who haven't had kids yet, or you plan to have more kids, I really want to challenge you to ask God what to name your kids. The Lord named both of our children, and we found them to be prophetic, both names. And I want to challenge you. What do you call my child? Did I say that? Is this on? Did you turn me down? I don't know. It's... Don't just make up something that sounds cool. That's God. I saw somebody on MTV with that name. This will be awesome. Until they become a drug addict, and then it won't be so awesome. What's that name, Snicker? I'm going to call you Snicker. No, it's Eminem. Oh, whatever. Are you with me? Am I losing you, or are we still together? I'm just talking here. We're just talking. We're just having a conversation. We want to know what's going on in our heart so that when we hear those crazy words from God, that we know, that could just be me. Okay, that's. So I've gotten into this habit, and I just want to give you some nuggets for 2014. I don't have points per se. Got some nuggets for 2014. I want you to get in the habit. God, what do you say about this? Hope they're not here. I was meeting with somebody recently. Hopefully they're not here. And I was like, you know, they wasn't excited about, my wife is, what is he going to say? She's so scared. Somebody was telling me, you know, I meet people on the streets, we'll say. And they give me all the reasons they don't go to church. Have you ever heard any of the reasons? Ah, all the hypocrites there. Hypocrites, huh? Yeah. It's amazing that you say and do everything that you say and do. That's awesome that you're... Anyway. I like to tell people, why don't you just ask God if you should go to church? Have you asked God about that? You know, last time I asked somebody that, you know what they said? I said, have you asked God about that? And they said, yeah, I asked him. He said I should be going to church. Yeah, well, there you go. Maybe he wants you to hang out with the hypocrites because you are one. Because God told you to do something, you chose not to do it. You call yourself a God follower. We call that being a hypocrite. Anyway, the Bible says, so we think in our hearts, so we are. It's very important to understand what we think in our hearts. It's very important to get this sifted out. It's very important to allow Holy Spirit into your heart and to sift through the issues of your heart. And not only that, but to have some people in your life. And what you'll find is the people that God adds to your life are people who aren't like you, because they'll push the buttons that make you uncomfortable. And you have a choice. Do I leave these people so I can stay comfortable, or do I work with the issues that make me easily offended? Those are the choices. And you don't get that if it's just you and just me and the Bible. That's a church. You don't need to go to a church. A church isn't a building. We are the church. Yeah, that's plural. That means it takes more than one of you. And last time I checked, there's a fivefold ministry. And if it's just you, you only got one. So you need at least five. Are you with me? Do all of you have, how are you going to have a tongue and an interpretation? And who's the tongue for? The Lord says, you don't need any of those people because you're so anointed. You know, come on. They don't understand you. They can't understand your call. Yeah. I'm just talking, honey. My wife is distressed right now. Okay. You got to get around people so people can be sandpaper. And they can smooth off the rough spots in you. And we have to have church. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Am I losing you? Is anybody coming back next week? I swear, I'm going to have so many good points next week. I might have like 12. Bring lots of paper. I just wanted to have a family meeting. We have more people show up than I thought today. So I'm just, you know, having a family meeting here. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. What we think in our hearts, so are we. See, what we behold, we become. What we behold, we become. And so as we stare at Jesus, we get transformed into the likeness of Christ. Are you with me on that? And so what we want to do is we want to be transformed into God's image for us. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what I found is these issues of the heart that are holding you back are generally because there's a belief system that you've put faith in that is based on a lie. And so when you have a belief system that's based on a lie and you don't have people around you to challenge it, you start justifying that thing and you build theologies around it and you build walls in between you and people who don't believe the same lie because you've built that lie to protect a hurt that you don't want God dealing with. So what you do is you get people out of your life who might actually put their finger on that lie that hurts to deal with, and so you isolate yourself from them. The Bible tells us that, you know, when you isolate yourself, you rage against all sound wisdom. And so we don't want wisdom from other people because then we might have to change. So we build walls, we isolate peoples, we come up with false doctrines to justify our isolation instead of just saying, Jesus, this might hurt, but do whatever you want to do in me. I think that's a pretty good point. So here's my point. You ready for it? To break the cycle. Whatever cycle you want to get out of in 2014, to break that cycle, you have to break the pattern in your life. That's scary because the pattern is there for a reason. I have a handout. Who's excited about a handout? I don't know that I've had a handout in like a year and a half. This is amazing. And I've never given a handout like this. Go ahead, ushers. Start handing out the handout. Otherwise, it's just a hold it. Everybody gets a handout. If you're not a tither, don't take one because you didn't pay for it. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. We're sowing into you. Now, I got little things I want you to fill in here because I want you to use this over the next couple weeks to facilitate some life change. We're going to use this to facilitate some life change. You get one, honey? You okay? You good in the back? Corey got two. He wants to learn so much. Go ahead. You guys ready? Everybody got one? If you need one, wave your hand or something. All right. Proverbs 4:23. You ready? We're going to work through this. This is going to be very good. Your life's going to be incredible in just a few short weeks once we get this in our hearts. You ready? It says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Now, the funny thing about that is you have to be active in watching over it. If you need a pen, apparently they got some. This is good. If you're not a tither, really don't take one of those. Those are more expensive than the paper. At least leave it behind. Or Malachi will be referring to you, a thief and a robber. Curse with a curse. I'm joking. Mostly. You got to watch over your heart with all diligence. You know what that means? Sometimes when you meet with certain people, like, I don't know, we'll say family. You know, you may have to go into it and say, you know what? I'm just not going to be offended today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm just not going to be offended. I'm just going to be happy. And when I leave, I'm not going to be having arguments with them in my mind. I'm just going to leave it here. I'm not going to bring up stuff that happened 10, 12 years ago. I'm just going to love on some people and leave. You ever sit in bed at night and you're very angry at somebody? You have not watched over your heart with all diligence because you've allowed something in it that's not bearing good fruit. You got to deal with that stuff. You got to watch over your heart with all diligence because out of it flow, you know what I'm talking about here? Streams of life. You got a bad stream coming out of there. If you see people and you get angry, you got a bad stream. Bad stream. You talk to people and like they're starting to act funny out of nowhere, you're bad stream. Bad stream. Deal with the bad stream. Clean it up. You with me? I really preach most of the time if you're a guest today. I promise, come back, and I might even yell. Who knows? Okay, our second point here. You ready? Proverbs 23:7. Ready? You ready? Who's got our answer? Anybody know? Does anybody know? Gosh, people. What we believe in our hearts, so we are. What we believe in our hearts, so we are. And so what we want to do is, we want to understand what's going on in our heart and we want to deal with it. And what I have found is, whatever you believe in your heart is what you receive. Right? What we believe in our heart is what we receive. When you go to your family dinner and you're expecting to get in a fight with your aunt whoever or your grandma or whatever, how many know normally that's what happens? But if we go into a situation and say, you know what, I'm going to exercise self-control today. I'm going to focus on Jesus. I'm not going to allow the situations of this world to dictate how I behave. I am going to exercise self-control because, you know what, I'm powerful and nobody can make me behave anyway. I only behave how I choose to behave. So no matter what happens around me, I'm going to be focused on Christ and they can act the fool. It doesn't mean I have to act the fool. Right? Oh, they made me whatever. Nobody made you do anything. You got the Holy Ghost. You're saved. I mean, come on. You can do whatever you want to do. Right? And so when you do that, you go in there and you say, I'm going to behave a certain way. No one's going to make me. You say, huh, I'm powerful. And I'm expecting to be powerful. And so I was. People want to fight with you. You say, no, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm not really interested in getting involved in a fight today. Right? And so what we need to do is we need to shift our expectations. We have to shift our expectations because as you believe, so you receive. So you must be willing to change your expectations to change your life. That's got a little slots for it right there. All you have to put is change twice. Change my expectations. And so I am going to go through the belief expectation cycle. Are you ready for overhead graphics? In all its multimedia glory. Will you please put up the first one? Okay, so here's what we have. We call this the belief expectation cycle. Now, some of you saw this at the Father Heart Conference, and I think it's worth revisiting. Okay, let's say you had an experience. Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. That was Jimi Hendrix. I don't. Anyway, so we have an experience. Let's say your experience is that when you were a child, you were poor. Any poor children in here? And so you learned to never have the nice stuff, and people looked down at you because you were broke. Yeah? You were poor as a child. You didn't fit in, and so you expect, this is who I am. I don't fit in. Let's say you grew late in life, and so you were smaller than other people. And so you always felt inferior as a child. That was your experience. And so now, that's what you experienced, and it scarred you. If I can get a little bit more personal, that I talk to a lot of people about. Let's say that you were inappropriately handled as a child. Let's say as a youngster, someone took advantage of you sexually. Right? Someone that you trusted. What I have found is that scars people deeply. And so you have this experience right here that scarred you. And what happens is, you start to believe something. Can I get your next slide, please? This experience causes you to believe something. Let's say that you were inappropriately touched. What you learned was, I can't trust people because they're only out for their own good. They're not looking out for me. That's my belief. Or you grew up poor and you just believe, I don't fit in. I can't match up to other people around me. Or Your parents always called you stupid. You're stupid. You're stupid. You can't ever get anything right. And so you start believing, I'm stupid. That's just who I am. I'm stupid. And there's a lot of people that I have met who are intelligent, who have been told their whole life that they're stupid. And because they were stupid, they didn't go far in school. And now that's what they believe. That's part of their belief system. Now, what we call that is an ungodly belief. It's an ungodly belief. Why is it ungodly belief? Because it's a belief that's based on a lie. And the problem with an ungodly belief is it's a lie that's buried alive in the foundation of your belief system, and it's still producing fruit. It's a lie buried alive in the midst of your belief system, and it's still building fruit, bearing fruit. And so you're building your life upon a lie. Is this, are you with me here? So because of this belief, can I get my next slide, please? You have an expectation. I'm not going to fit in. Of course, I'm not going to be the class president. I'm not, I can't preach, because, look at me. Come on. I'm always going to be broke. So, I just get by. It's okay. I can't expect to be ahead. I'm not even, I just expect not to get picked. I expect not to get ahead. I expect not to get a promotion. I expect to be poor forever. I expect it. And so you're looking for this thing to come your way because that's what you're expecting. You're looking for, that's what you're looking at. I've always failed, So I'm hood. No, that's who we are, I'm hood. Or if you're white, I'm just a country boy. This is how we do. Or I'm not from this country. This is how we do it in my country. It's just another form of, I don't fit in. That I can't excel. It's all the same stuff. It's just a different label. Oh, this is in my native language, So what? What's that mean? So you have this expectation, which dictates your behavior. Since you don't expect, let me ask you a question. Let's say you're going to college. Where are my college students at? Okay. Let's say you're going to college. Let's say you're going to college and you expect that after you graduate in the next 20 years, you're going to be in Congress. Let's say when you enrolled in college, you're saying, in 20 years from now, I'm going to be in Congress. I'm going to college now, but in 20 years, my expectation is I am going to be in Congress. How many of you know how that person behaves in college is going to be very different than the person who says, I'm in college, but I've never done well in school, so we'll see what happens. We'll just see what happens because, no one in my family goes to college, and, homies back home don't go to college, so, let's just see what happens. Who do you think is going to do better in college? The person who expects, okay, I'm at this, but I'm launching. This is a launch pad from here. They have a completely different expectation, so they're treating this season differently. They're treating this present season differently than the person who says, well, who knows what's going to come? I don't know, but, I'm just here. I'm just living. I'm just living, dog. I'm just living. Really, just living. It looks like you're dying to me. To me, that looks like you're dying. It doesn't look like you have anything to live for other than pleasure, which to me is death. You're living for the flesh. That's death. But the person who says, I'm in this season, but I am using this season for the next season. That person has a different expectation. How do you read your Bible? I read my Bible like Jesus wrote this thing so that he could talk to me. I read this thing expecting to hear God. I read it every day expecting to hear God. I write stuff down that he tells me. Like, that's the word of God right there. I open that book up. I add my faith to this written word. God is here, and he's going to talk to me. But if you read it like it's some sort of religious ritual, guess what you get? Religion. You with me? I pray now more than I've ever prayed in my life. Because I've gotten a revelation that the future belongs to the intercessor. And when I'm on my knees, I'm writing history. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. I get on my face and I'm writing history right now. I dictate my future through my prayer. Now, if you just feel like, I have to pray. Jesus said, can't you pray with me 1 hour? Okay, we're at 57 minutes. Oh, God, I don't know what to pray for now. And all the little children in Africa, Lord, and the Ethiopians. And if you go, thank you, Jesus, let's go. You already got your reward. Are you with me? So let's go back to our experience with the person who was, inappropriately handled as a child. People don't care about me. I'm used. I'm just, you know, I got to keep my guard up because people are just going to try to use me. And so your belief is that that's, you know, what all people act like. And so you expect to only attract people who will use you because that's the only people that you know, that you believe about. So guess what you get? You get users. Is there one more slide? And so because you get users, you experience more of the same thing. And then the cycle strengthens itself. Some of you have been broke for so long, the thought of not being broke seems foreign. You've been in so many bad friendships, you don't trust anybody. So you're just looking at people. Yeah, well, they're going to fail me. And as soon as they do something wrong, I knew it. I knew it. I knew I couldn't trust them. They're like, what are you talking about? I told you I couldn't come over because my car burnt down. You know, you told me you'd be there. And everybody, they lied to me. And the people, they're all liars. Like, I was really wanted to be there, but I couldn't make it because of circumstances that I could not control. Whatever. Thought we were friends. Clearly we're not. Anybody been overreacted to like that? You ever been in a dating relationship or a marriage and you're getting an argument and you're like, are you arguing with me or the guy you dated before me? Because I don't remember doing any of this stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I'm touching stuff now. Oh, sookie, sookie now. I'm touching stuff now. You say it long enough, guess what they're going to start doing? Keep prophesying it over them. All right, so check this out. So we have this cycle here. You can't change your experience. And you can't actively change your belief. And you know what I found? You can't change your behavior because it's based on a lie. What can you change? Your expectation. Now, this don't make any kind of sense if you don't understand faith. Just leave that up for a minute. Got your belief expectation cycle here, right? Go ahead and put a circle around expectation. All you can change is your expectations. Well, how do I change my expectation? Because it's true every time I'm broke in these situations. Every time I'm hurt in these situations. What I need to do to stop the cycle is isolate myself and not hope. Well, I tell you, that's not the way to fix things. What I need to do is not let people in, and then I won't get hurt, and then what? You'll start trusting people, really. That's really how you're going to break the cycle, is trust less. Remember, what you behold is what you become. You're with me on this. What you behold is what you become. What you got to do is change your expectations. You got to change your expectations. Are you with me? You got to change your expectations. What I want to challenge you to do in 2014... is start fresh. It's a couple days from now. Start fresh. What you behold, you become. Our next little thing on our handout here, you may fill out now. It may be easy. You may fill out when you get home. I must change the ungodly belief that, for some of you, that's easy. I'll always be broke. I need to change the ungodly belief that I'll never be married. I need to change the ungodly belief that I don't want children. I need to change the ungodly belief that I can't trust people. I have to change the ungodly belief that if I don't protect myself, nobody else will. And if you don't know, if you're stuck in a cycle that you don't like, if you're seeing consistent fruit in your life that you don't like, you may not even see the cycle of unbelief and expectation. You may not see it. But if there's an area of your life, if there's an unclean stream, you got to figure what is feeding that stream? Because it's coming from somewhere. Water didn't just, you know, appear. It comes from somewhere. And you got to say, okay, Lord, what is feeding this ungodly stream? I get angry at this all the time. I say I'm not going to get angry at my family, and then I get there and I'm angry. I don't know what's happening. Well, there is an unclean stream that you got to deal with, and it's based on an ungodly belief. Cycles of sin are based on ungodly beliefs. You got to ask God, what is the ungodly belief that I need to deal with? And some of you will know. And so, what do you do with this once you find out the ungodly belief? And this is why you can't just change your behavior, because you can't will yourself into righteousness. If you could, we wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. We wouldn't need grace. But the fact is, we need grace. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. We need the truth of God's word working on our side, changing our circumstances. So what we do is we find the ungodly belief, and then we say, well, that's clearly a lie. Let me just help some of you out. Can I just tell you some stuff? God wants you to have a happy marriage, whether you're married or single. He wants you to live righteously. He wants you to have victory over sin. It's his desire for you to have a prosperous life. God wants you to be free from anger. God doesn't want you ever to be mistreated. Anything else you can think of, honey? God has a good future for you. You're not stupid. How you look externally is not who you are. Your value isn't only in what you can do for other people. It's your value based on you're built in God's image. You were created with a purpose. You're not a mistake. These are truths. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to be whole. God wants to use you for his glory. Any of these things, like, I don't know about that. Ungodly belief, write it down. Are you with me? This will change your life. And so once we find out we have this ungodly belief, the only thing that destroys the enemy is the truth. The truth destroys the lie. You can yell at the lie all you want. I hate you. I want you to go away. What you want is irrelevant. It has to bow its knee to the truth. Right? When the light comes, the darkness must flee. You hear me? When the light comes, the darkness must flee. Well, God is using this for me. No, he's not. God wants it gone. But he's using this to humble me. Well, then just pray you be humble so it can go away. Either way. I hope I'm touching things right now. So you got to ask God, what is the truth? What is the truth about this situation? And I want you to write that down once you hear this. And now here's what I want you to do. We have this third little slot here that you got to fill out. Here is what I will do this new year to position myself to be a lover of truth. Listen, if the Lord said that he doesn't want you broke, and you believe you're always going to be broke, you're not a lover of truth. You love the lie. I can't trust people. God said you can. You're not a lover of truth. Well, church is filled with hypocrites, that's why I don't go. But God told you to go to church. You don't love truth. That's why you don't like church. Are you with me? Now, what happens here is this takes the responsibility from they aren't whatever and puts it right in your court. You have control over your life. You have control over your life. You have control. You are powerful. If you're saved, you've been washed in the blood. He gave you his name, gave you his word, gave you his spirit, gave you the promises, made you in his image. And then you say, you know, you don't have power over your circumstances. It's a lie from the devil. Now, it's scary to say I'm in this situation because I haven't done something about it. That's scary because now you got to deal with why you're a failure. And that's scary. And so I want to give you some suggestions. Thank you for my thing up there. I want to give you some suggestions on how you can break the cycle this year and how you can position yourself for 2014 to be amazing. I'm going to spit some stuff out there, and you can just write down some stuff that the Holy Ghost gives to you. I'm going to start with what we have going on here as a house. 21 days of hearing God. Listen, if you're stuck in a cycle of stupid, you need to hear God. You need to hear the truth. Come on, if you're stuck on stupid, you need to hear some wisdom from God. 21 days. We're going to gather for 21 days. We're just going to hear God. And as a side note, if you're scheduled to be to lead one of those nights, we're having a meeting directly after service in here. In here, directly after service. We don't have teardown, so you can wait 5 minutes. We're going to talk about that real quick. And I guess you can stay if you want, even if you're not. But we're going to have a meeting. But listen, why don't you pray and ask God. Here's what I want you to ask God. Which days do you not want me to come and hear you? God, why don't you tell me which days I should skip church on Sunday and do other things? Why don't you ask God that? Oh, I was very busy. Really? Okay, that's amazing. What did God say? Well, I don't. Yeah, okay. Don't tell me what you're doing. Tell me what God said. I want to hear what God says. This is why I don't have a big church, because I say things like that. 21 days. During this 21 days, we are also going to be reading through the New Testament in 30 days. Now, that does mean that there's 9 days that you're going to have to be on your own reading the Bible. But we put together a reading plan. It's right here. And just read with us. Now, the key to this is you say, I can't read 9 chapters in a day because I'm somewhat illiterate. What you want to do is you want to find a version of the Bible that you can read 9 chapters a day. Not everybody can do 9 chapters a day. So get you a Message Bible. I don't much like the translation, but it's easy to read. You can go through 9 chapters pretty easy, okay? Listen to audio Bible. Get the word in you every single day. And before you start reading, say, God, would you speak to me now the truth about my life? And let me give you a little caveat. I have found when God tells me the truth about my life, he tells me who I can be, not who I am. I've gotten strength from that. I can't even explain to you how much strength I've gotten from that. Say, Lord, what do you say about me? I like to just ask him, what do you say about me? And he'll speak over an area. He's like, I say you're righteous in this area. And I'm like, I don't feel righteous in that area. I'm like, wow, God is calling me to be righteous in that area. And he's told me that's how he sees me. He's not excusing my behavior. He's telling me this is who I really am, and I'm operating outside of who I am by behaving this way. And so I get strengthened. Does that make sense? He visited me in a dream one time and just said something to me. I was like, wow, that's amazing. I started walking in it because that was the truth. He had to skip my whole mind to come visit me in my sleep. So 30 days through the New Testament, there's a different reading plan on YouVersion. You can read that if you want. That's only 5 days a week, so you read more per day, but you get like Saturday and Sunday to catch up, or I don't know what they call them, grace days. But okay, so read the Bible. All right, there's one, and pray. Those are two pretty good ones right there. If you just do that, your life will be amazing. But above that, here's what I want you to do: consecrate yourself in this new year. Go into this new year and say, you know, I'm just going to turn off the TV for a couple weeks, and I might even only get on Facebook 15 times a day. No more than 15 times a day am I going to go on Facebook. You might even want to say, like, only on odd hours am I going to be on Facebook. So whatever you got to do, you know, if you just realistically know you're not going to stay off Facebook for 3 weeks, don't set some stupid goal you can't keep. Just say, I'm only going to be on Facebook in odd hours or between 5 and 7 at night and then not the rest. You know what I found? You can live without it. Because I remember way back in the day when we didn't have Facebook and my life was still okay. I remember. See, I'm older than most of you. Henry, you might remember this time. Remember back in the day, me and you. No, listen, this is before things. Hey, do you remember, like, you didn't know what was going on in other people's lives unless you were talking to them? You remember way back then, like, you had to actually talk to people to know what was going on in their life? And I felt like my life was okay back then. You had to, like, call them. It's bliss, isn't it? Now I just have the hide button. That's all I have, and I use it a lot. I'm sorry. So you can live without knowing what's going on in people's lives and what they ate for lunch and that they're driving home in the rain. You can live without knowing those things. I'm here to let you know. And it might even give you time to hear from God. Call me crazy. So consecrate at the beginning of the year a fast. In these 21 days, I'm not calling a fast, but you may be called to fast by God. And what I would challenge you to do is be comfortably uncomfortable. If it means something to you, it'll mean something to God. And now if you're a vegetarian saying, you know, I'm going to do a Daniel fast, that's stupid. I'm doing a Daniel fast, Really? That's awesome. That's great, you know. Where's Nebuchadnezzar? You know, be comfortably uncomfortable. Find stuff you like and stop eating it. Some of you may just need to drink water for, you know, a week. You know, it is what it is. So ask God how you're supposed to fast. And if I could say, this is my little pet peeve, you can't fast television. Fast means you're not eating. I'm fasting. What are you fasting? Jelly beans. I'm fasting. I'm not watching Law and Order. That's not actually a fast. Fast means you're covering your mouth. So if you say, I'm just going to withhold myself, I'm not going to do some things that I enjoy doing, I'm not going to eat sweets, I'm not going to watch TV, I'm not going to the movies, I'm not going to listen to the radio, I'm just going to pray and hear God. All right, do that. Is that okay? We have a water baptism in 2 weeks. Not next Sunday, the Sunday after that. If you're stuck in a cycle of sin, just decide, I'm getting water baptized in 2 weeks. I'm gonna get radical in my life. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to hear God. I'm going to come every night. And I'm going to get water baptized, and God's going to change my life. It's like, well, I got water baptized when I was 7. Awesome. Congratulations. Show me the certificate later. Come get water baptized and watch God change your life. Amen? I said this one already, but cut off all media. Can I tell you, one of my challenges is I like to read the news. And I read the news a lot. I read a lot of news. I know what's going on all over the planet. And I don't really need to know what's going on in North Korea for 3 weeks. I can just skip the news for a couple weeks, and I think the world is going to be fine. And so for you, what media is for you, just ask God, right? Another one. Are you ready? Are you writing any of these down, God talking to you? Here's one we learned from someone who I don't even believe is a Christian. This woman we met, she said something. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm watching my words. And now we know that we're supposed to control our tongue, right? How about for 3 weeks you watch your words? How about you not say anything negative? What if, let me ask you a question, you people who love to complain and feel you need to. Do you complain because of the things that are happening in your life, or are the things happening in your life because you're complaining? Is it possible that you're prophesying your future? Is it possible that where the Bible says your words have power, it actually means your words have power? Can you do a negativity fast for 3 weeks? Some of you, that's the hardest fast you're ever going to do in your entire life. I'm just not going to complain. And you know what's even worse? Get an accountability partner who has to hear you all the time. I promise you they hear you being negative. And they're very aware of how to point out when you're complaining. Say, I want to do a negativity fast. If I say anything negative, I want you to correct me. I bet you'll get a lot of help with that one. Just start watching your words. Don't get bored. I'm almost done. Someone said amen when I said I'm almost done. That's good God. At least they didn't say hallelujah. All right, the last thing I want to tell you is journal. Journal everything God tells you. I've begun journaling afresh recently, and it's the greatest thing in the world. And here's what I like to do. Here's why you want to journal. When you're a teenager, you journal and you complain about everything. That's not what I'm talking about. And then you go back and you say, oh, yeah, I remember how miserable that was. Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I was in lust and they didn't care me. Oh, I loved them, but they didn't know my name. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. You hear me? Are you with me? Do not bleed your soul on the paper and all that. That's not helping. What I do want you to do is write down and journal everything God says to you, every time you experience him, every time you encounter his goodness. And I promise you, if you're not speaking negative words and you're looking for positive things, because we become what we behold. So if we're looking for Jesus, we're looking for positive experiences, we're looking for, okay, I have been broke my whole life, but I'm no longer going to expect to be broke. I'm going to expect God's prosperity in my life. I'm going to expect that God wants to prosper me. I'm going to change my expectations so I can change my outcome, all right? You're with me, right? I'm going to take that leap of faith and believe that God has given me good friends and I can trust people. I'm going to say that. I don't feel it yet, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to expect it. You know what you'll find? You'll find people being nice to you. You'll find friends who all of a sudden Like, well, I didn't even realize he came through for me right there. I thought I was going to be on my own. And look, there they were, because I'm expecting these things to happen. As I'm expecting God's goodness in my finance, all of a sudden, I say, wow, I just got a discount at the store. What? And now before, maybe you would have got a discount anyways. But you would have remembered you hardly have money to pay for it. But now, as you're seeing God's faithfulness, all of a sudden, your faith is changing. Wow, what do you know? I had a coupon that just sitting right there, and I got to keep it and found more money in my purse, and now I even got a little extra money. My God, what do you know? God is prospering me. And as you begin to expect it, things begin to change. Are you with me? And as you begin to expect goodness out of people, you start seeing that people are actually nice around you, and your reality is changing. Because this whole expectation cycle works both ways. It works negative and it works positive. So as I am experiencing God's goodness, I come to believe God will manifest good towards me. And as I believe that it will manifest good towards me, I start expecting it. Matter of fact, I even look for it. Every morning I pray, God, will you surprise me with your goodness today? Surprise me with your goodness today, God. And you know what I'm doing all day long? I'm looking for his goodness. Surprise me with your goodness today, God. Just surprise me. And out of nowhere, something good will happen. I'm like, that's the goodness of God right there. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's what the Bible tells. Amen. Come on. Come on. He's a good God. Give it up. He's a good God. And so as I believe that he's a good God and I'm expecting his goodness, you know what happens? I behave like I'm someone who has a good God who loves him. It changes my whole behavior. I don't say, no, I got to be good. I got to have faith in God. No, no, no. I just begin expecting him. And as I expect it, I believe it, I experience it, and all of a sudden, I behave that way. You with me? So as you journal, I want you to journal the goodness of God in your life. I want you to journal the true words that God speaks to you. As you're reading the Bible, a verse leaps off the page, write it down. And as you're going back, you know, you get to a low time, and everybody, you know, if things are going bad, I want to let you know it's a season. But if things are going awesome right now, unfortunately, I'm here to let you know it's a season. Hard times are coming. But when you're in those low times, you got this journal, you look back, oh, look, God has been so faithful in hard times. Oh, look, I remember when he spoke that to me. Oh, I remember when I was broke and that sister blessed me with that lunch. I remember when I just wanted to go out with everybody and I couldn't afford it, and out of nowhere, this person said they'd pay for me. Man, I remember God's goodness. Okay, I'm in a low place right now, but I see in my life I can expect his goodness to manifest because that is God in me. Are you with me? Are you with me? You want to go looking through these journals and say, oh, this is who God is in my life. This is seed. Much of this blessing of God is seed in your life for future harvest. Amen? So I want you to write down for yourself, here is what I will do this new year to position myself to be a lover of truth. And as God shows you these ungodly beliefs, I want you to find scripture that's true. It's like, I'm just alone. I've always been alone. Well, the scripture says that he puts a solitary in family. So you just wake up in the morning and you go through your declarations. God, I'm expecting you to put me in a family. I'm expecting to be in covenant. I'm expecting that I will never be alone. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You're with me even to the ends of the earth. You just begin prophesying that over yourself. And as you say that, as you declare that, as you change your expectations, you'll see your whole life will change. And the cycles of 2014 will be different than the cycles of 2013. Can you say amen? God is a very good God. Amen? Stand with me if you would. I want to pray for you. I want to thank our brother Joel for playing drums with us the last couple weeks. Stand with me, Joel. Father, we love you. And I thank you for your people right now. Just get ready to receive. I believe the Holy Ghost is here. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Listen. Some of you just need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost this year. You've gotten dry. You've gotten dry. You may have got to be religious. You just got dry. You used to be fresh, but you allowed an offense to come. You allowed sin to come. I'm not going to play any music. I'm not trying to, you know, stroke your soul here. It's just between you and God. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, you said that you would pour out your water in a dry and thirsty land. So, Father, there's many people in here who are dry, but they're not thirsty. Dry, but not thirsty. Father, I pray that you would provoke their thirst. that they would hunger and thirst for righteousness. That 2014 will not be like 2013. Father, you don't need the Roman calendar to change people. You could do this any day, but we're choosing to make this day the day. January 1st, we just kind of set a marker there. We say 2014 is not going to be like 2013. We're going to set up a marker at the end of 2014 and say, this was the year of breakthrough for me. This was the year of prosperity. This is the year that things turned around in that area of my life. This is the year that I wrote about that thing in my journal for the last time. That I made an altar call for that thing for the last time. That this is the year that things change. And Father, right now, the people, you would, come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. That you would strengthen their inner man, Father. Jesus, that you would be so close. You would be so close that they would behold you and be changed. That they would behold you. Come on, let's pray. I feel like God wants to do something right now. I've changed my mind. Come on and play a little keyboard, if you would, for me, Mikey. I just feel like the Holy Ghost is about to do something.
He's going to do something, Mike.
Tell your neighbor he's about to do something. You don't have to say it like that, though. Come on. He's about to do something. Come on. He's about to do something. Come on. He's about to do something. This is you and Jesus. The Lord is about to give some of you a vision right now. He's about to give you a vision of the truth right now. Come on, let's focus. Come on, focus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. God is going to talk to some people right now. He's going to talk to some people right now. Come on, He's challenging your belief systems right now. Get them all, Jen. Come on. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. I feel it stirring in here right now. I feel it stirring right now. I feel it stirring right now. Come on, stir it up. I feel it stirring right now. I feel it stirring right now. I feel it stirring. Hallelujah. 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 I feel it stirring right now. I feel it stirring right now. Hallelujah. 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 Life. Come on. I feel He's here. He's here. In the name. I command in this room every foul and wicked spirit, every lie of the evil one. I command you to come off the saints of God. I command you to, I declare the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Some of y'all just need to resolve in your heart. 2014, I'm going to listen to less lies. I'm not going to justify them. I'm not going to argue and say why they might be true. I'm just going to believe the truth this year. I'm going to listen to less lies. I'm going to speak more truth, even if I don't feel like it. That's a good word right there. That'll change a life right there. The anointing is moving in the room. Just let them touch your heart right now. Let them touch your heart right now. I wish you would. Come on. Be a lover of truth right now. Be a lover of truth right now. Oh, I know it feels good to be a lover of the lie because it's protected you for so long. But just say, I'm just going to believe what you have said is truth, Father. What? You said I'm righteous. I don't feel righteous. I guess I should start walking in my real identity. Acts chapter 4. Amazing thing happens. They beat the snot out of these guys. They said, don't never talk about Jesus no more. And they went back. They went back to their friends. You know what they said? They didn't say, man, we can't talk about Jesus no more. They didn't allow that experience to define their reality. No, you know what they said? How awesome that we're so threatening to them that they tried to beat us to stop us. Father, fill us more. They didn't allow that experience to define their reality. They allowed the words of Jesus, go out and preach the gospel. They allowed the words of Jesus, who he said, look, they didn't like me, they're not going to like you either. I said, I'm going to stick with that reality. And you know what happened when they decided to believe that reality? The Holy Ghost came and filled them. The Bible says that the fire of God came and he filled them afresh with the Spirit. You don't have